Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for tonight is the Luke 2 text and the fourth commandment. I will not reread them, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. St. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So our topic today isn't one that we should take, well, lightly. Just look at the text. The text has in verse 51 for us an astonishing statement. "And he," that being Jesus, "went down with them," that being Joseph and Mary, "and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them." 12-year-old children don't do that. Do you know any? If you do, you know this as fact. If you remember being one, you know it even better as fact. In fact, obedience can be a fighting word for our tweeners. You know what a tweener is, right? Between? Okay. Children chronically complain about helicopter parents who overbearingly control their lives. Yet often that's just spin for "my parents won't let me do what I want to do." And, well, our country is more than happy to oblige the kids. Lawyers are at their disposal to help kids take their parents to court, to sue, even divorce their parents. Obedience to parental authority is unheard of with many children today. When parents exercise everyday garden variety parental authority and expect simple obedience to the simple request, or I should say, the earth-shaking request of making your bed, cleaning your bedroom, heaven forbid, take out the trash. Eyes roll back in their heads if they were slot machines, you're looking for the lime to show up. Condescending tone hits their voice, or maybe it's just that which they grumble under their mouth. Sometimes it erupts into a loud screaming. Other times, just to remind you that your little grown-ups are, well, still little, they will kick and scream just for fun and entertainment. And for good measure, what would life be without a slam door here or there? And I'm told the piece de resistance, if you haven't experienced this, I've been told that this is the top of the top. The child that you've cared for from little on, that you provided for, that you make sure is clothed and fed and taken care of, when asked to do such horrible tasks, responds by saying, "I hate you." But you get none of that with 12-year-old Jesus. He does the exact opposite. He willingly and without hesitation obeys his parental units, his mother Mary and his stepfather Joseph. He keeps the fourth commandment because he wants to. Speaking of the fourth commandment, we just said it a second ago, honor thy father and mother. And often parents want that one to be taught to their children before the first commandment. It doesn't work that way. And what does this mean? We fear and love God so that we despise or anger our parents or other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. And we are to honor dad and mom. And honor is a big word. It is as if God is saying to us that he works through the office of fathers and mothers, and that's because that's exactly what God does. Parents, biological or adoptive, are God's representatives in the family, Dad and mom are God's mask behind which God really does His miraculous life-sustaining work for our sake. Dad and mom are God's hands and mouths in the home. Think about it. How did God create you? Did He snap His fingers and say abracadabra and poof, there you were? Did He send some bird to fly over your chimney and drop the child down? Maybe send you out to a cabbage patch to look under a leaf and other stories that we've shared with children throughout their life. Not that I want to crush those, but that's not how it occurs. God created you through the physical, real-life bodies of your parents. This is how God works. He sustains your life through the sweat, hard work, sleep-deprived bodies of your parents. And so God gives the commandment. The first commandment of the second table, honor your father and your mother. This means that you are not to anger or despise your parents and other authorities like teachers, coaches, principals, pastors, police, etc., etc. The list goes on. But we are to serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Easier said than done, isn't it? Whether you like them or like it or not, He gives us parents and other authorities, regardless of how we feel about it. God establishes parenting as one of the two most important relationships there are in life on this earth. Consequently, we are given to honor the office of parenthood regardless of who's in it. I've confessed in this church before about my breaking this commandment back a few years ago with the president when they had a standee out in Kewaskum with a broomstick sticking out of the standee's nose in place of a certain president who'd been lying and caught in public, and how I laughed about it. And that's not honoring my governing authorities, which falls under parents as well. This really stinks, parents. That means that when the teacher says something, you have to side with the teacher. That's not always that comfortable because you want to side with your child. And then we have the other struggle with the fourth commandment. This is the catch-22 part of the fourth commandment. The first things that kids notice about their parents is that they're a little bizarre. Odd. Peculiar, maybe. They always act a little strange. My kids would say nerdy, and that's okay. After all, Dad and Mom are not like everyone else that you meet in the world. Dad and Mom often seem to, embarrass us, especially when we're children. You go out to eat or you go to the mall and you really want them to go to another part or sit out in the car and wait for you to come back until you grow up. You don't want to listen to them, love them, obey them, let alone honor them in their office as parent. And to all of this, there's only one thing to say. Repent. It really is that simple. But we also must learn to forgive our parents. For our parents are not perfect people. They're sinners just like us. Mom and Dad blow it sometimes in their vocation of parenthood in every stage of life. Lots of times parents are not the people they're supposed to be according to God's will. I had a member tell me a story that they've allowed for me to share, that when she was growing up in her household, her parents thought it was a wonderful way to discipline the child by taking the child's hand and placing it on the hot stove. It's more humane than spanking, I guess, they thought. They burned her hand so many times she has no fingerprints. It's good if you're a spy, but not good if you're a 12-year-old kid. And yet I asked this person, who is a grandmother now, how is it that I watched you care so deeply for your parents in their old age, and they had treated you so horribly? And she taught me a valuable lesson about the fourth commandment. She said, and I quote, "It says, honor thy father and mother. Nowhere does it say they will be honorable." And that stinks, because it's true. And we know it about ourselves. It's called sin. And I'll let you on this big secret that no one else knows. Kids have a parental garbage detector. They know when you're shoveling it. Our kids can sniff out your parental sins. And I'm not talking about the nerdiness and quirks now. The kids will zero in on parental hypocrisy. They notice that what you say as a parent is not what you do as a parent. And we've all heard it. Don't do as I say. Don't do as I do, but as I say. All right. Well, you know what I'm saying. Don't do as I say, not as I do, is the proper phrase. Oh, well. But this is a disastrous way to parent. Our kids can see this as plain as day. And they begin to resent us because of it. They lose respect for us because of it. They dishonor us because we violate our God-given offices as parents. In real life, family tempers flare. Nasty words get exchanged. Hands sometimes become fists. And if looks could kill, well, we would be having this service from prison today. A few sins a parent might commit against you can be so gruesome that in the world's eyes, it is completely unforgivable. Forgiving parents for their sins against us is not easy. In fact, it is probably one of the hardest things in the world for someone who has been sinned against as a child to do, especially when they become an adult. So every day we battle against our sinful nature, the world, and the devil that always want to drive a wedge between children and parents, to ruin and destroy families, to allow sin to fester and boil and remain forever unforgiven. And who's the odd man out in all of this? Or dare I say boy? Out in all of this unforgivingness, Jesus, the 12-year-old obedient Jesus, and the 33-year-old Good Friday Jesus, he and his entire life is for our saving, as our Savior. And as our Savior, he kept the fourth commandment and all of the commandments perfectly in our place. What we ought to do but couldn't, he did. Flawlessly, righteously. He is righteous, and his righteousness he gives to us. Because he didn't do it for himself. His obedience is for you and for me. And it counts as our obedience before God. But wait, there's so much more. Hanging on the cross, he allows the law to accuse and attack him with all its might and fury because he willingly bears all our sins in his own body. All of it, even our sins against the fourth commandment. Therefore, the law's indictment, the blame, the charges against us that have all been exhausted on Jesus, where God's wrath is completely measured out. Jesus experienced all of that for us on the cross. What all that means, very simply, is you're forgiven. Parent, child, you're forgiven. Totally and completely, with Jesus' divine Good Friday and empty tomb earned forgiveness. All who believe are absolved for all the bad that they have done. All the bad that we have given to our parents and other authorities. We are pardoned for all the bad our parents and other authorities have done to us. So now what? Well, as Jesus has forgiven us, he now generously uses us to forgive one another just as freely and absolutely, or one might even say as recklessly. Children, forgive your parents. Parents, forgive your children. As Jesus has forgiven us, as we'll pray in the Lord's Prayer today, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I know it's easier said than done. But he now uses us to honor our parents and other authorities, fearing and loving God so that we do not anger or despise them, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Through faith, this is what we want to do. That's the Lord's good use for us. Happy doing it. Just that. And knowing that God will bless us in it. So let me tell you a little something that's very important for you to hear. Something Pastor Rafa's already declared to you tonight. Categorically and emphatically, in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people will say to that, Amen. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.